right back. Okay. Call the meeting to order. Our next public hearing is subdivision number 2013-8, Jack Lingo Asset Management LLC.
An application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, dividing 34.65 acres into 97 lots. This is in an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and located south of Road 275, also known as Warrington Road, approximately 650 feet west of Road 274, also known as Old Landing Road, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID, District 334, Map 12, Parcel 122.03. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any comments based on the Technical Advisory Committee report.
Mr. Chairman, the Technical Advisory Committee report of July 1st of this year will be made a part of the record. On September the 16th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet into the record. Each of you received a copy of that. It contains a presentation outline, a data column, a concept plan, the original preliminary subdivision plan, a revised preliminary subdivision plan. The exhibits contain maps, the plus response, copy of the 1868 Beers Atlas, an archaeological assessment, the Technical Advisory Committee report and response, Section 99-9C responses, responses to the cluster's subdivision requirements, an environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report, a Tidewater's utility willing and able letter, Delaware Electric Co-op willing and able to serve letter, professional biographies, and proposed findings of facts and conditions of approval. And also on the 16th, the applicant submitted a revised preliminary plan to reducing the number of lots from 97 to 85, and each of you received a copy of that. That's all we have in the file.
Mr. Chairman, one thing I'd like to add, too, is that I received from the applicant's attorney a copy of the proposed restrictive covenants, and it complies with the code requirements for the submission of proposed restrictive covenants.
All right, then. Thank you. Mr. Byard.
Good evening, gentlemen. Nice to see you again. Gene Byard on behalf of Jack Lingo Asset Management. The project developer with me is a principal of Jack Lingo Asset Management, Nick Hammonds, and from Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, the project engineer, Ring Lardner. We'll move right along. Nick, if you want to come forward and introduce yourself, please.
Hello, Nick Hammonds, Jack Lingo Asset Management.
Nick, if you could begin by going to the board and showing the commission what those aerials on the board represent.
Everybody see this?
Nick, if I may, the aerials are in your booklet and the Exhibit 1, both aerials.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Anyone who has an interest in this project is welcome to come up. If you would, if you want to see the exhibit, and just stand off to the side or whatever, and let, but you are welcome to approach if you so desire, so that you can see what's going on.
So essentially, this is an aerial from 1992, and you can see the proposed Redmond parcel, which is outlined in yellow here at the top of the page, bordered by Old Landing Road to the south and Warrington north and east. And as you can see, at that point in time, very little development along Old Landing Road. You can see the beginnings of the Yarnell Creek subdivision, so roads cut in, but very few homes, and then across the street. Across from where the Redden parcel is, you can see the Atlantic subdivision. So in 1992, not much going on Old Landing Road.
20 years later,
you see a lot going on Old Landing Road. So again, here outlined in yellow is Redden Ridge. And what you can see, it's one of the only parcels that's left undeveloped at this point. So to the east, you have some multifamily product, Sea Chase Estates, as well as Sterling Crossing. Breezewood is a single-family subdivision. You now see Arnell Creek fully developed, as well as the subdivision I mentioned earlier. And then further to the west, you have Sawgrass and the villages and meadows of Old Landing. So quite a bit of development since 1992.
If you had to describe the trend and character of development, how would you describe it?
Mostly single-family subdivision, small lot cluster-style development. And as I mentioned, there is some, as you get closer to Route 1, multifamily and townhome development, as well as some townhomes a little bit to the west as part of the Sawgrass development.
Did you draw on any projects to establish a theme or a design for this project?
Yes. From a marketability standpoint and a demand standpoint in Sussex County, what we're seeing is, especially in eastern Sussex, a demand for a smaller lot product. We're currently developing a project right now just east of Route 1 called Senators, and have seen some great success from a sales standpoint. Our builder has sold or taken contracts on 88 lots, and being that the predominant market is your retiree, pre-retiree, and even, again, second home, people are looking for, at least those looking for single family, smaller lots with less to maintain.
Am I correct, Nick, that Senator's project went to market this time last year?
Yes, approximately.
And 88 properties are under contract at this point in time?
That's correct.
How many homes are under construction, if you know?
There are 48 homes under construction.
Let's talk about your demographic. What do you intend to attract in terms of residents in this development?
What we're seeing, and using Senators as an example again, is an influx of retirees, pre-retirees, and second homes. At Senators, we've seen that be about 90% of the market, with families of their full-time residents only about 10% of the market.
Speaking of families, have you had occasion to speak to the Cape Henlopen School District about any impacts this project may have?
Yes, I have.
And the product of that discussion?
There is some capacity issues as it stands right now. However, there are referendums that will be in effect at the end of the year, or will be proposed, that will add on to the middle school. And I think everybody's likely read about the elementary school developments in the paper. So while we don't believe this development, based on our buyer profile, will have much of an impact, I don't think will be much of a concern.
What amenities do you plan for this project?
Plan to have a pool and a pool house.
Initially, this was a 97-lot subdivision. Now is an 85-lot planned subdivision. Why the decrease in 12 lots?
There was a known archaeological site that was identified through the PLUS process, and so what we did was cordoned off as passive open space that section of the site, so we lost about 12 lots.
That area will be planted in grass and be permanent open space managed by the association?
That is correct.
Since you're in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, you're entitled to apply for the bonus density. Can you explain what the process is there briefly?
Yes, so we, being that we are in level one and level two, we have applied for the bonus density, which will, in this case, yield an additional 16 lots. In order to do so, at final, if everything moves forward as planned, at final recordation, we would have to pay a $20,000 per unit fee, which in this case amounts to $320,000.
Where is that money paid?
At final recordation.
Where? To whom?
The county.
And for what purpose is it paid?
To purchase open space.
That's all I have for Mr. Hammonds. I'm going to introduce Ring Lardner and turn him loose. Ring, if you could introduce yourself briefly.
Good evening, Ring Lardner, professional engineer and associate with the firm Davis Bone Fidel, 23 North Walnut Street, Milford, Delaware, 19963.
Ring, if you could briefly describe the site and its present condition.
That's better. For the purpose of commission, I'm going to be bouncing back and forth a little bit between tab A, presentation outline, tab B, the data column, the concept plan that I've showed up here for the public view is the last map in Exhibit 1.
You're on your own.
Thank you. Parcel of land is 34.65 acres, located west of Old Landing Road and south of Warrington Road. A small portion of wooded area is located on the southwest corner of the property. That's this area down here in the southwestern corner. And the western property line lies on the fringe of a large wooded area, which is here. I'll show you the overall area on how this falls into the existing terrain when I get into the 99.9C and the 115 requirements. Wetland delineation was performed, and there were no state or federal wetlands located in the project. That delineation was done by Environmental Resources Incorporated. The site does contain an archaeological site, and I'll discuss that later on in the project. The parcel of land is gently sloping and positively drains towards Arnell Creek in the southwestern corner of the property, and there are no known limitations or issues with stormwater management that we're aware of. The proposed subdivision that's in tab C, which is a rendering performed by Element, was a plan that was first reviewed by the PLUS. The PLUS response is included in Appendix 2. They provided us comments and suggestions, didn't have any significant concerns. That is where we first learned about the archaeological site. They gave us the site number they found. That site was first discovered by the University of Delaware as part of a larger discovery period they were doing in southern Sussex County. We revised the plan based on the PLUS comments, began doing an archaeological study with Dr. Edward Otter. We submitted the revised preliminary plan that's in tab D. That plan was reviewed by TAC. And again, TAC did not find any significant issues or concerns with the project. And the copy of the TAC response can be found in Exhibit 5. So as you can see from the concept through the plan we're presenting today, the developer's intent has always been to provide open space behind every single parcel so that no parcel would have rear yards that abutted to one another. It'd always have some sort of open space, be it an active component, buffers, or stormwater management. It'd always have open space behind it. The proposed subdivision will consist of 85 single-family detached homes, again, with all the homes located in open space. The subdivision includes a 20-foot forested buffer. The forested buffer detail is shown on sheet 5 of the current plan set. That landscape buffer will be developed with plants and trees native to Delaware, the right tree for the right place, so that they will survive in the long term. They will be planted and then developed in the future. That 20-foot landscape buffer is along the entire buffer with Arnell Creek subdivision, along the frontage of Old Landing Road, minus where the entrance comes in, along these existing homes, along these existing lots. There's a 20-foot forested buffer here, as well as another 30-foot buffer on top of that to provide a 50-foot agricultural buffer from adjacent lands owned by the current landowner that's currently actively being farmed. So the 50-foot agricultural buffer is provided in this area here. Yeah. Minimum lot size required is 7,500 square feet. We do have several lots at that, but the average lot size is 8,700 square feet. The subdivision is required to dedicate right-of-way to DelDOT. That is part of the ultimate right-of-way for the road standards. Old Landing Road is a local road that's required to have a total 60-foot right-of-way, so we're dedicating another 5 feet to meet that requirement. Warrington Road is a minor collector required to dedicate 10-foot to meet the ultimate 80-foot right-of-way for that road. We're also establishing 15-foot permanent easements for a future multimodal path. The project is not required to construct the multimodal path this time because it doesn't connect anything. There's a fee in lieu provision that the developer will be required to pay at final interest plan approval for DelDOT to ultimately install the multimodal path in the future. The internal roads will be privately maintained and designed to the current Sussex County standards and specifications with sidewalks on both sides of the road. The subdivision name Redden Ridge has been approved by 911 addressing as well as the street names shown on the plan. The proposed subdivision is not required to perform a traffic impact study because the trip generation does not warrant the full impact study, but it is required and eligible to participate in area-wide study fee, which the developer will participate in, and that is paid on a per-trip basis of $10 per trip. They pay a fee to DLDOT for future improvements within that area. DLDOT studied the area numerous times and felt that performing an additional traffic impact study was not going to find anything different than what previous conclusions and recommendations have come up, which is why they supported the area-wide study fee. The subdivision only has one entrance. That entrance will be off of Old Landing Road. The original plans had called for the entrance to align with the entrance from the landings. After further discussion with DLDOT, we offered to go with an off alignment and reduced improvements within Old Landing Road. During a meeting with DLDOT, we had discussed about possibly having an entrance off of Warrington Road. They did not want that entrance and suggested we not put it in so that we didn't create a cut through to Old Landing Road. And so we agree with that, and we did not provide an entrance to Warrington Road. Should the fire marshal or the local fire company wish to have one, we can work with them on having an emergency entrance off that roadway, and that can be addressed should the project be approved at this stage and to in the future. I know Mr. Abbott read some things into the record. Mr. Lank, I think you should have a copy of this letter. I'm going to give it to him for the record in case it's not in there.
It's in the file.
Okay. It's a letter September 20th from DLDOT after we submitted the revised preliminary plans. One of the few times I've seen a letter similar to this where they have concurred with the current entrance location. They agree with where it's going to be and will work out the actual design requirements during the entrance plan approval process. So they have not the official no objection, but they have no issues with the current location of the entrance. The off-site improvements have not been finalized and currently being coordinated with the developer and DLDOT. We know for sure that we'll have to improve Old Landing Road to meet local road standards. That's 11-foot travel lanes, 5-foot shoulders. They'll be required to enter into a couple signal agreements in the area and possibly contribute to the improvement of the intersection of Warrington Road and Old Landing Road. The proposed subdivision includes over 13 acres of open space. There's a 1.35 acre active open space parcel here. This is where the pool and the pool house is going to be located. There's some additional area here that could be used for a playground should HOA decide they want to install in the future or whatever use they have. As mentioned previously, an archaeological site does exist on the project. That site was a DOT information we received from SHPO. Developer hired Dr. Edward Otter Inc. His report can be found in Exhibit 4, I believe, in the booklet. And in his investigation, he went out, did a site visit, generally in the known location of where the site should be, made his findings, came up with an area, what's called an area of potential effect of where the archaeological site could be. Typically, the next step would be you could do further tests to define the actual site. Developer decided to make a they made a decision that we're going to propose to preserve and permanently preserve the entire area of potential effect without any further investigation. This entire area will be permanently preserved as the archaeological site. The bulk area passive open space, there is some limited active component that can be used, organized play area, lacrosse goal, anything that we've done on the surface without penetrating the surface because that could disturb the site that exists out there today. That site is an historical site. They believe it might be an 18th century site. It is not a Native American site. It is definitely an historic site based on the findings out in the field. In addition, we have stormwater management ponds. Here in the middle of the site, proposed to be wet ponds with fountains to make it nice and beautiful for the residents. Another small pond may be required here. And then again, there's buffers surrounding the property. That's what composed of the entire 13 acres of open space. As mentioned, the subdivision will be served by Tidewater Utilities for drinking water and fire protection. Sussex County, through the TAC comments, says the project will ultimately be served by the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. However, a point of connection is not known at this point in time. There are some studies we have to do with engineering department to find out the best, most feasible way to do it. We all know
There's a pump station that currently exists here. That's one of the things we have to evaluate, is whether we can connect this pump station, fund its capacity, or if we have to go a different way into the district and that stuff. Should the project get approved, we'll work with the engineering department to determine the best and most feasible way to make that connection. And the Delaware Electric Co-op will provide electric service, and as mentioned, the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Company will provide fire protection services for the project. That pretty much covers the existing and proposed site conditions. So if it pleases the commission, I'll move on to the Chapter 99 response for the project, which can be found in Exhibit 6. And I won't bore you in the solar intelligence, as you all can read. I'm just going to hit a few highlights as far as the 999C response. Just to pull up the bigger board to help illustrate how we integrate into the surrounding territory. That is the color rendering on the aerial, the 2012 aerial. Again, subdivision includes a 20-foot forested buffer with a 50-foot ag buffer from adjacent agricultural lands. And it is located within a residential area, as shown by Mr. Hammonds from the 2012 aerial. There are no wetlands on the site, and we are not within the 100-year floodplain. We have preserved the historical site, as told to us by SHPO and further delineated by Dr. Edward Otter, Inc. Preserved 13 acres of open space, which comprises approximately 38% of the total site. There will be no major grade changes, some minor grading for the roads and lot grading, and we will preserve most of the trees. There's one lot located in the wooded area, which will be selectively cleared for that property. The 20-foot forested buffer will screen the property from the neighboring residential properties. Stormwater management will meet all state and subsurface conservation requirements, to include the pollution control strategies for the inland base. Again, sidewalks are on both sides of the street for pedestrian traffic. And we discussed the DLDOT improvements that we'll be doing as to minimize any effects on the roadway and public transportation. The next part I'd like to go to is Exhibit 8, which, in accordance with the Environmentally Sensitive Developing District Overlay Zone, the Environmental Assessment and Public Facilities Evaluation Report. Again, all the improvements will not affect stormwater quality. Will be required to meet all DNREC SCD requirements, implement the pollution control strategy for the inland bays, and reduce phosphorus and nitrogen runoff. Tidewater is providing public water. Sussex County ultimately will be providing sanitary sewer for the project. Developers participate in area-wide study fee and will pay, again, $10 per trip towards the county to be used for road improvement projects within the area. There are no known endangered or threatened species. Again, there are no tidal or non-tidal wetlands in sight. We provide open space that does meet the definition of Chapter 115 and Chapter 99. And we discussed public-private infrastructure. The developer will be required to pay for all the improvements, internal, road, sewer, water, storm, and improvements out on Old Landing Road as far as widening the roadway to meet local road standards. Project will create construction jobs during the construction of the projects and will help increase the tax base for Sussex County as the homes become sold with the transfer taxes, once for the land and then again when the house is sold to the individual homeowner. The historic site has been preserved in its entirety as delineated on the plan. And the last thing I'd like to cover is Exhibit 7, which is the cluster ordinance response. And the cluster subdivision allows the proposed density to be calculated using half-acre lot sizes, which we calculated to be 69 units would be permitted based on the half-acre lot. In the environmentally sensitive developing district, we're allowed to calculate that based on quarter-acre lots. We're proposing 85, which is well less than the quarter-acre lot calculation. So as Mr. Hammonds mentioned, they're asking for 16 additional units that's permissible under the cluster ordinance for the project.
Using the 85 acres as a gross density of 2.45 units per acre is the gross density of the project, should it be approved. The proposed subdivision is superior to the standard subdivision. As we've shown, it preserves historical site, minimizes impacts to woodlands, provides open space, and allows for the clustering of lots to allow all lots to have some sort of connection to open space, be it passive or active open space. And it includes sidewalks on both sides of the street and integrates existing open space with the terrain, as open space is connected to the existing ag land and everything connects together. It's just not pocket parks spread throughout wherever it fits best to maximize the number of units. And Mr. Bird, I believe that will conclude my testimony and presentation, subject to anything you have or the commission has.
I have no questions of you, members of the commission. He's all yours.
All right, then. Start with Mr. Smith, since that was Mr. Johnson's preference.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for yielding your time at this moment. And Mr. Bard, Mr. Hammonds, Mr. Lardner. Thank you, gentlemen. Without making any judgment or comment on the plus comments and responses, am I correct that what is in our exhibit book was presented to plus as 97 lots?
That's correct. When we went to plus, plus saw the concept plan that's shown in tab C.
That showed the archaeological
site. It did not show the archaeological site.
Okay.
It was a rendering done by Element that showed 97 units to include 12 of those within that archaeological site.
Okay.
All and right. That's the same thing, tax saw as well, units within the archaeological site.
Understood. And because I believe that I heard you say that, well, let me ask you, will there or will there not be a traffic impact study, or will there not be an area-wide study?
A traffic impact study will not be conducted. The developer will participate in the area-wide study fee, which is $10 per trip,
okay,
payable at time of final entrance plan approval.
All right, sir. I understand what you said, that there at this time there will not be any entrance out onto Warrington Road.
That is correct.
But you would provide one if some type of emergency responders wanted to have something.
If the fire company asks for it, the fire marshal wants it, we'd be willing to put some sort of emergency entrance and DUDOT support of that and defer to the fire department and fire marshal if that's something that they wanted. But they did not recommend it, putting one there for full access for the public to use.
Do you have an idea of what type of improvements will be required on Old Landing Road? You were speaking rather quickly, and I just want to go over it so the interested public. You said 11-foot travel
11
lanes.
11-foot travel lanes and 5-foot shoulders. Today, they sit about 11-foot with 2-foot shoulders. So we'll be required to widen the shoulders, and we'll be more than likely required to do an overlay along the property frontage. And that depth, it will be determined by DUDOT as part of the entrance plan approval. Minimum of 2 inches, I suspect.
And your entrance is going to be offset a little bit from the original recommendation, which was going to have it line up perfectly with the landing.
That is correct.
Okay, and those were all DLDOT recommendations. Talking a little about the development itself, is there a timetable to construct the amenities? And by the amenities, I'm thinking more about the pool and pool house.
Yes, our intent is to construct that by the 50th building permit.
So tie that into the 50th building permit. Mr. Lardner said not once, not twice, but three times, sidewalks on both sides of the street.
Yes, sir.
So that's an affirmative.
Until they come back and ask.
That's for change.
Yeah, that's for it to be changed.
Yeah.
But to expand upon that, your site plan shows the intent is for curb and gutter streets.
That is correct.
That's typically when the sidewalks are more acceptable than on a berm or on a swale.
That is correct.
Since we know the lot sizes, we draw an idea of the sizes of the homes. I expect there's a minimum that was submitted, minimum square footage for single-story or two-story here and submitted to Mr. Robertson. Do you have an idea of the value in $2014 of the homes you hope to construct?
Yes. So I think the program, the way we designed the site was such that we had a 52-foot in width buildable footprint, which allows for a good size master down to hit the market segment that we're trying to get to, and it will likely start priced in the high 300s for the base model, and that with options and your larger models will get up into the 500s.
The homes would have a garage integrated into them, or would the parking be in the driveway?
Garage.
Thank you, sir. What is the notation on the plan referencing when it shows a couple dashed lines that call it a water resource protection area? Could you tell us?
That is an area that's a map that's produced by DENREC, and that area represents the excellent groundwater recharge area, and that's the outer boundary line, Chapter 89 of the code. Talks about what you can and cannot do within that water resource protection area. It does permit development in there up to 35% impervious area without any restrictions. You can go above that 35% if we do some mitigation requirements for that. That's what that line represents, the outer boundary of that certain recharge area. So that line is here. So all this area here is within the excellent recharge area. This line here, this area going this way, is an excellent recharge area, and it's better shown in the bus map. On page.
But the idea behind the question, the water resource protection area for the benefit of the public, is it's a groundwater recharge.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you. And as we're talking about water, one of the stipulations will be that you would have to, if you got approval, go through Sussex Conservation District and handle your own stormwater.
Yes, sir.
And that would be, so if I were, say, Mr. Fannin or Mr. or Mrs. Walters, a Green, a Wilson, I would be assured that whenever it rains and the rain comes off the roof of the house that's being built here, goes down the downspouts, out the gutters, it was going to stay on the property of Redden Ridge Development. Is that correct? And be handled by them. It's not going to leach over into my back or side yards.
That is correct.
Is that how that works? And that's provision covered by the code.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have no other questions. Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, then.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, now it's your turn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Smith. You covered some points I was going to address and a few more that I hadn't even thought of, so I appreciate that. Explain a little bit about the bonus density that you're applying for under the cluster ordinance.
Under the cluster ordinance, paragraph F, and I forget the exact code, what it says is within the developing area, that could be a town center, the environment sensitive developing district overlay zone, and I forget the other one. If you're in that district, you are permitted to calculate your density based on quarter acre lots, which is 10,780 feet, I believe is the magic number. So we take the total gross area of the project, convert it to square feet, divide by 10,780, and that gives us the magic number of this is the maximum amount of units that you're permitted on the site within the cluster ordinance. A typical by right cluster subdivision not in that area is allowed to base your density on half acre lots of 21,780 square feet. That is where you establish the base density for the project. So in this case, at 34.65 acres, when you finally do the math, it comes out to 69 units is permitted based on that calculation. You're then allowed above 69 units, but any number of units above 69, developer could proffer $20,000 per lot payable to Sussex County Council, and then they have to make a decision at their level with a forfeits vote where they're going to spend that money in the future that's been proffered to them. That is how that density bonus works within the cluster ordinance.
It ties in the fee structure that county council sets for those payments, so that's not an arbitrary figure. And if the first there has to be the approval of the subdivision with the bonus density units, and then later on that fee's paid at the recordation plan stage, and then council, with consultation with the land trust, determines how they're going to preserve open space with it. So
the money basically goes to the land trust, not to the county's coffers.
Well, it goes to the county's coffers. I mean, yes and no. And the land trust is involved in determining what properties to acquire, conservation easements, and things like that.
So it's not part of the county's general operating.
No. It's separate.
Yeah. Okay. So you could have applied for more than what you're applying for.
Yes, sir.
Is what I understand. And bonus density aside and cluster development aside, how many lots could you normally develop on this project?
Calculated, if we did a standard by right, approximately 45 to 50.
Okay. And?
And that plan would not have any open space. That would be lots, property line, cookie cutter. Plan is day.
Okay. With the historic changing to the historical site, do you have any? Is there any legal requirement for you to set aside that property?
No, sir. But if we are not required to follow any of the Section 106 requirements because no federal funding is required. If federal funding or federal approvals, such as wetlands permits, anything like that, we would be required to follow the Section 106 process, and that's where SHPO and all those would get involved as part of the whole process. All we're required to do is preserve, show the archaeological site, and as part of 99C, preserve that, and developer decided to preserve the entire area, the potential effect of where the historical site could be.
The bottom line is, since no federal funds are involved, you could have continued with the original proposal and built houses on those lots.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, again, that's something that the developer is proposing.
That is correct.
Proffering. Okay. currently, as I see it's right now, it's all cornfield, pretty much except for the rows of trees.
That is correct.
And would you characterize that as an isolated farming operation?
And this area in Old Andy Corridor, absolutely.
And that's because from my observation, that was the only section that was being actively farmed.
That is correct.
And would you characterize this as an infill?
I would characterize that as an infill because you're surrounded by residential on three sides, so you're infilling that one area, yes, sir.
Okay. And tell for the benefit of the public, what's involved with forested buffers?
Forested buffers in the county code, there's a buffer ordinance which says you have to have X amount of trees per 100 feet. Those trees are then selected. We have a landscape architect in-house that will select trees native to Delaware that will proffer and stay alive in this area. Those trees are required to be planted, and forgive me, I don't know the ordinance off the top of my head. There's a certain timeline when that forested buffer must be installed. Should it be approved and go into construction, there's a certain timeline when that buffer has to be installed and then it's maintained by the developer until it's turned over to the HOA.
And that landscape plan would be submitted to the commission as part of your final?
That is approval. Correct. And that detail is currently shown in the plans right now, and that detail will be shown in the final record plat.
Like everywhere in eastern Sussex, traffic is always a point of concern. What, if any, improvements are being proposed for the intersection of Warrington and Old Landing Road?
That has been a discussion going on for years, Mr. Johnson. I don't have an answer for you. That's something we're talking to DOT. What is the best solution for that intersection? Leave this development out of it. They've been looking at the intersection for years. They're still trying to come up with the right answer. We're just part of that solution as well as DOT as a whole, and that's something we're in discussions with them. Whether it's going to be an interim improvement, full improvement with partial funding, that answer has not been developed yet.
And will you be asked to participate in the cost of those improvements at that intersection?
I would expect we will be, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, at this point, I don't have any further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
All my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Ross.
I would just ask you to maybe consult with the Delaware Department of Agriculture and mixing your buffers with deciduous and conifer trees, and they have a listing of native okay. trees and can get, make some helpful suggestions to help you along with
yes,
that.
Yes, sir.
I mean, technically, the application looks to conform to code. There's one part of code that talks about the cluster as part of a superior design, and I've heard different segments of the superior design, but not encompassing it as a subject point. Can you encapsulate the superior design features just in one conversation rather than piecemealing out?
I'll address it in two parts. The first part is we did not submit this as a superior design project as defined in the code, because it allows you to make it, to request whether you want to be submit as a superior design requirement. We did not submit this as a superior design. However, we did meet most of the requirements within the superior design. I'll be more than happy to go through it. But this project was not submitted as a superior design cluster ordinance project. So if you bear with me, so I don't miss anything on this.
Well, I was going to say, it sort of has to fall under some parts of the cluster design just because that's what passed you into
it,
the
it falls under cluster design, but the what happens
density.
Is, Mr. Robinson, is when the superior ordinance was approved, it was commingled within the cluster ordinance. So there's parts of it where we have to meet the cluster requirement, and intermixed is the superior design portion of it, which the applicant can decide whether to submit to that requirement or not to that requirement. So for the purpose of the commission, I'll go through the response that we have here and explain to you those parts. Paragraph E, design requirement for the cluster development, that is all cluster developments are required to meet these. So part one talks about being in accordance with the amendment to the community design standards. We preserve natural features, we meet Sussex County Public Works standards and specifications for the roadways. Provide 35% of the total site area is open space. Part two talks about housing types and the low density area, which we are according to the comprehensive plan, limited to single family detached dwellings, which this plan encompasses all single family detached dwellings. Part three talks about a forested buff area, minimum 30 foot width, abutting an agriculture area. Technically, it has to be a 50 foot buffer because it's an agricultural provision that requires a 50 foot buffer. So we provide a 50-foot buffer. Dwellings located with 50-foot existing residential development shall provide adequate transition and density or shall provide a 30-foot buffer. We provide an adequate transition and density from the surrounding subdivisions for this property. No lot shall have direct access to any state-maintained roads. None of that required. There'll be a note in the plan stating such. Number six talks about all lots shall be configured to be completely outside of all wetlands. As stated before, wetlands do not exist on the property. Paragraph 7 talks about central water, wastewater. Tidewater is a public utility, as such as Sussex County Council through the use of their on-site treatment plants. Paragraph F talks about review procedures. Number 1 talks about shall include the sketch plan showing all open space extended existing wooded areas, wetlands, historical, cultural. So the plan we show you shows the extent of existing wooded areas, wetlands, the historical cultural site, all that is shown on the revised preliminary plan. Number 2, information should include a plan for management of all open space. That is included as a note on, I believe, the title page of the preliminary plan. Yeah, open space management plan, there's a 5 items about how the open space will be maintained. Paragraph 3 talks about the superior design criteria, again, which we did not submit the plan to, so if you skip paragraph 3 all the way down through the response, we then get to number 4, which is about adding conditions to the cluster development and protect adjacent properties and natural environment. And for and as you mentioned, we did state that this is superior design, so I'll quickly run through it. All homes are clustered, an environment suitable project. A yield plan, as I mentioned, Mr. Johnson, we show about 45 units of 20,000 square foot lots would fit without any open space. Again, wetlands, water bodies do not exist. Cluster development does not show any units greater than the yield plan, plus other additional units allowable. And that's where the density bonus comes in. We're allowed to show the additional units per the density bonus. The required open space, it meets the official definition. It's beneficial to residents. It has a 30% of it contiguous together. In other words, it has to be either all on one parcel or it could jump a street. We have 30% all right here together. Contiguous, that 30% is then also contiguous adjacent to existing agriculture land. We preserve the woodlands, we preserve the cultural resource area. Open space and dedicated homeowners association. We did not provide a trail system, but we figured the sidewalks on both sides is a better use of the facility than trying a trail system just to put one in throughout the buffer ordinance. Permanent setback we maintain around all wetlands. Again, there's no wetlands on the site. Stormwater management will exceed all county and state requirements. Healthy mature trees will be preserved to the maximum extent possible. Again, there's only one lot shown within a wooded area. And then, like I said, what we did is once we found the archaeological site, we said, okay, we want to preserve this site, minimize disturbance here, develop in this open upland areas in here, cluster development, provided open space behind every single unit within this subdivision. So if you could imagine a lot on every single inch of this property, this plan is superior to what could be done on a 20,000 square foot five-way subdivision. And generally, Mr. Ross, that would totally run through all the requirements of a superior design should we have submitted to that requirement.
That's all, Mr.
Chairman. Okay.
Do you like? There's references made to several projects on Old Annie Road. Are they, and they were referenced as subdivision, but are they not residential plan communities, the majority of them?
Yes, I believe some of them are residential plan communities.
Arnell Creek was a subdivision, and the projects to the south and across from it were residential plan communities.
The villages of Old Landing, yeah, and Meadows of Old Landing.
I couldn't think of the title, that's why I asked the question.
Okay.
That's all I wanted, just to make sure.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
Just one sort of point of clarification, just because I was here when the cluster ordinance was adopted and here when it was amended. It's always had, and you kind of implicitly have to go by the cluster ordinance to get your bonus density, okay, that we talked about. It's always had the superiority requirement. It was amended, and that created two tracks at county council. There was a concern that the county had that we needed more indications of a superior design, and to accomplish that, you would have to submit a yield plan. So developers would have to go through the, at least the sketch plan level of actually doing a standard subdivision design. And at the time that that was considered by council, they said, well, that's an awful lot to potentially ask for everybody that wants to do the cluster development option. What we will do is say, okay, if you want to go that route and do the yield plan and all the additional requirements to sort of backfill the superiority element, we're going to treat you on an expedited basis. And that was back when we had a two-year waiting list.
Back when it made a difference.
It doesn't matter so much anymore. But anyway, in either case, there's still the superiority element of it. It's just the amount of work that you want to do to justify that and whether or not you want to expedite the treatment of your application, which seemed like a great idea back in 2004 and 5 when there was a two-year waiting period. But anyway, and that's for the commission's benefit because you all haven't seen these in a while. And also the applicant. So I don't want you to discount the superiority element on this one or others that come
like
forward.
Like I said, when you read the ordinance, yeah, it gets quite confusing because
yeah,
it starts climbing on top of itself.
The way it was
and so
there was parts that were amended sort of on the fly. Anyway, so.
Okay. All right, then.
Oh, and I do have one other question, just for a clarification. On the site plan, you show on some of them residual lands, which is a piece that's, like on the cover, for example, it's not colored in. I think you show that it's a piece that goes up towards the top. My only question on that is, that does that count towards any of your density calculations or anything?
Matter of fact, it should have been taken on the last plan. That's why I'm looking.
It doesn't appear that way, but...
If you look on sheet 2 and exhibit E, that is the current preliminary plan being reviewed by the commission.
Okay.
And you'll see that is actually Redden.
Okay.
Lands of Redden. The developer did not purchase that property. Okay. Originally, it was other was potentially going to be other residual lands. It is not not part of any of the calculations for the subdivision whatsoever.
I didn't think so. I just wanted to make that clear.
I was going to make sure I fix it on the plan.
Yeah,
so.
I see that where it's fixed. Thanks. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here like to speak in favor of subdivision 2013-8, Jack Lingo Asset Management, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2013-8? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Beth Doty, and I live in Arnell Creek. Mm-hmm. I think I probably speak for most of the people that live off of Old Landing Road. The traffic is horrendous, and the road is really not wide enough. Even at this point, there's not enough places to get around. Cars that are waiting to make turns off of that road already, but. Even beyond that, the greatest concern that I have is at that intersection. And I'm concerned that there's not going to be a required traffic impact study. I don't know what, I formerly lived in Newcastle, so I know a little bit more about how they work up in that county. But traffic impact studies are extremely important with the amount of development that's going on. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. We already know what's happening to Route 1, but all that traffic that is flowing into Route 1, is a lot of it's coming from these new developments that are coming further and further out. So I don't know how the county's going to handle it. And certainly at that intersection, a light will just aggravate the whole.
Well, that's up to our friends at DelDOT.
Well, maybe it is, but it seems to me that the county has some responsibilities when they're putting in these developments that they've got to be part of the solution to the problem. So that's my main concern. Other than that, I mean, I'm concerned about runoff and water standing. And in those fields, on the other side, there's a lot of standing water when it rains in there. Of course, all over Sussex County, there's standing water. And I don't know how you prevent it except to have stormwater sewers demanded to be there so that they can run them off in appropriate places. I think that I'm not sure where Arnell Creek goes, but there's already problem. I mean, if you could, can you show me how far it goes? Because
the headwater or the beginning of Arnell Creek is generally in here and it flows in this direction.
In that direction out to the bay.
The upper end of Arnell Creek.
Right. But there's already, that creek gets just dried up a lot, I guess, and then what concerns me, I guess, is runoff from people still use a lot of fertilizer on their lawns and those kind of things, and that running off into Arnell Creek, which has already got some problems. And then that goes out to the bay, which is another significant problem for runoff into the bay. Of fertilizers and that kind of thing. So those are some of my concerns.
All right, then.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? I thought I saw a hand over here. Okay, we'll go over here. This lady in white, you go first, please, and we'll come back to this side of the room.
Mr. Chairman, my name's Ann Meredith. I also live in Arnell Creek. Mm-hmm. Have the same concerns as Beth.
Okay.
Namely, the traffic. I don't understand why you don't do a traffic study first.
Okay.
Does anybody know?
Does anybody know
you don't
why?
Have to?
Well, because DelDOT says it's not required. so.
Well, even so, can you not take that on your own?
I don't think we can.
Okay.
No, you can't. You can be recognized by the chair when the appropriate time comes. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, until we do have a traffic study, I don't think you need to develop anything more along Old Landing Road. And the second part is that this number of people are probably double what we could handle if you're not going to make any changes. So they could change the, they've already dropped a few lots. If it were cut in half, it would be a big help.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, back to this side. Ma'am, if you'd like to have the floor, you may.
My name is Meg Ellicott, and I live in Arnell Creek, pretty much right in the middle. I back up to the middle of that project.
Okay.
I was trying to respond to the traffic when somebody asked about a traffic study.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I believe, someone is doing it right now. I'm not sure, but there are these metal things going across the road that I think are traffic counters. So I don't...
Might be.
Yeah, we have done... Are we for him?
Okay. I'd like you to finish your statements, then we're going to let him respond to everything, because we're...
Okay. Well...
I don't like to get... It breaks down if everybody gets into a big back
yeah,
and
we
forth.
Get too many people at the podium at one time, we sort of... It's a little hard to keep track of. So we're going to let you finish, then we're going to let him come up and respond to your traffic counting.
Okay.
Concern.
Well, I was curious about that.
No. We'll find out.
Anyway, my land does touch the back of this project. I'm a professional. I'm still working. I understand... everything about this project and this undertaking. I'm all about growth. However, I moved from Northern Virginia to my forever home, mm-hmm. To get away from city sprawl and traffic. I've lived here almost 7 years. I was shocked to learn that we would be losing this cornfield behind my home.
Why was that? Why were you shocked to learn that?
Well, it was one of the main reasons I moved here. I know, you know, that doesn't really matter.
So
it's just me.
You thought that for some reason that parcel would never be developed, even though
I really didn't.
A zillion houses down that street?
I didn't.
Really?
Okay. I really didn't.
I just want to know. Just want to know how you got there. Okay.
So I guess my questions do have to do with the traffic as well. It really is horrendous right now. Secondly, what will you or the builder do to protect my rights, my interests as a landowner? What about the noise? How long will it take to build this if you use as an example the senator's project? Will you start doing construction as I retire? I'm getting ready to retire, and you'll start construction at 6 in the morning. What time will you start doing it? The buffer, for instance, that you talked about between the back of the homes and where my home is, I think you said 20 feet. 20 feet is like from there to there. I mean, has there ever been any talk about a cut through the back of their neighborhood to our neighborhood, which is what they did with, I think, the group next to us?
Yeah, I'll just give you a little bit of history on that. There was a time when our friends at DelDOT had the bright idea that we wanted all these developments to be interconnected,
mm-hmm.
and that turned out to be a bad idea.
Right.
So you probably won't be seeing too much of that anymore. I would say you're pretty safe on that one.
Okay. And
there was, but that's why you saw the ones that are there. That's why you saw them, because at one point it was thought that that was a good idea, and after they got it done, they realized that it probably wasn't.
The builder will be, the developer or builder will be taking on part of the responsibility to make improvements or widening Old Landing Road if necessary alongside Del Dock? Is that how it?
No, they'll be doing it, and Del Dock won't be doing it. The developer will be doing it and paying for it.
All of it, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All whatever right. Del Dock says they have to do, I mean, Del Dock controls the entrance permit, and, you know, if they have whatever they require them to do. In fact, they could even require them to improve intersections that aren't immediately adjacent to this development. It's not likely in this case, but it has happened in many other cases.
Or contribute toward the fund
or contribute
with other developers that impact intersections.
Okay. I think also for clarification purposes, I thought I heard one of the gentlemen say that there was that they expected approximately maybe 10% of
families.
To be full-time families or
mm-hmm.
Okay, because in our neighborhood in Arnell Creek, it's 50-60, I believe, 50-60% mm-hmm. are full-time. So I'm just surprised that many would
we
be.
We only
rentals.
Know what they testified to. We don't really know if it's right or wrong, if projections are what they are. It does seem that the product that they've discussed is essentially for you, not for not for him, who's probably got little kids, you know. So it would make some sense that there wouldn't be a whole lot of young families, because the young families don't have the money, man. The people who have the money are all you guys coming from Northern Virginia and Wilmington and Philly and all these places, like who can afford to be there. So, you know, that's probably what you're going to have most of.
Okay, thank you.
Just can I follow up just with a couple of answers to your questions? One about the hours of construction.
Yeah.
On, you know, the commission, if it decides to approve it, can put conditions on an approval. And I'll be honest, it's been a little while since we've done a subdivision, but one of the standard conditions that was put on those, and I suspect if this gets approved, would be put on this one, would be hours that they could, you know, work and have deliveries of materials and dirt and things to the projects. The commission's always been very careful about that, particularly when there's developments that are surrounded by other residential developments, so that there's not that kind of impact on the neighbors. So that's one thing. The other thing is typically a development like this, I mean, there's no guarantees, but it's not that a developer comes in and puts in all 87 houses at once. It's phased in.
Right.
You may say, okay, that takes longer, but the impact in a given area is over quicker rather than the whole time potentially. So I just wanted to let you know that that's the way that's handled through the county engineering department, and it's all bonded, and there's control and oversight on that. And I make those statements, you know, in the event it's approved, you know, that that's how it would go. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. She asked those questions,
sure.
So I just want to let you know.
Sure, and I'm going to let the gentleman respond to her traffic question, too. So.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Or somebody, one of you guys, if you would. What's going on with the traffic counters?
Our firm typically does about 70% of traffic impact studies in Sussex County, whatever else. I do believe there is a traffic impact study going on in that area. What it's for, I don't have the privilege to that.
Somebody's doing a study for something. Is
for something. The road tube she's referencing is actually for Redding Ridge, what they're called. They're called road tubes, and they count the actual traffic that goes across that entrance, and we use that as part of our entrance design. So that's the little two rubber strips you see bouncing over. That's what that is.
Okay.
That intersection has been studied at least four or five other times by other, whether it's our firm, other firms by Del Dock, and as I said during the testimony, they all come up with the same conclusions or recommendations, which is intersection needs improvement, and like I said, in our case, Mr. Developer, more than likely you're going to pay X amount to help contribute to this improvement.
Okay. Can I ask a follow-up question to that?
Yeah, sure.
And you maybe testified this earlier. Was Del Dock the one that said to put it on Old Landing Road, the entrance, versus Warrington
Road?
That
is correct.
So they're the ones that said
they're the ones that wanted it on Old Landing Road.
Okay. And I just follow up to that. Davis Bowen Friedel, you have in your employ a fellow by the name of DJ Hughes.
Yes, sir. He is a traffic engineer.
It did.
And does the and did it would do the traffic impact study if it was required for this, and he is part of the conversation with DLDOT for the area-wide study fee and what those improvements would consist of that Redding Ridge would be required to participate in.
He is the traffic engineer
under
your roof.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, would anyone else like to speak? Okay, yes, sir, over here. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Frank Meredith. I live in Arnell Creek, and you have just heard from Mrs. Meredith. And I wish to reiterate her concerns about the traffic congestion, particularly at the intersection of Old Landing and Warrington. Uh-huh. There have been ideas put forth of circles, of stoplights, or remaining the same as it is. Uh-huh. And I don't have the answer, but I think someone can do some work and try to find out, because I think it is sheer folly to proceed without any more information than we have at this moment. And one other point I would like to make is I do believe that farther up Old Landing Road toward the Walmart shopping center, mm-hmm. there is still active farming going on there. There's a cornfield right across there, in addition to the ones near Arnell Creek. But thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir. Okay, anyone else all the way in the back? Yes, sir.
Evening. My name is Larry Walton. I live in Arnell Creek.
Okay.
I may be the most recent. I'm right here.
Okay.
And I understand the 20-foot buffer. Mm-hmm. First, I have a question.
Okay.
And that is, what are the trees or the vegetation that's going to be there for the buffer?
Okay, I'll get an answer for you.
And I think that it should be an evergreen line because Arnell Creek's HOA has gone to great lengths to make Arnell Creek an established community that's very nice and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what this one's going to be like, and I think we should really have a buffer between the two communities that is year-round.
Mm. Not, yeah, sure.
That's it.
Well,
thank you.
I can answer that, actually, by what the code says. It's a mix of deciduous trees, 70% deciduous shade trees, and 30% evergreen trees. And it says, majority of which shall be suitable trees of common local species, which may include existing as well as planted trees. In this case, I think, from what everybody said, a lot of those would be planted. And it tells you how many trees per 100 feet. And then also the commission requires, as part of the final site plan approval, there to be a landscaping plan that shows how those buffers are going to be planted. And that's bonded also as part of the bonding we talked about to make sure that what's put there complies with what's approved in the plan, which must comply with the code. So there's requirements in place. So it can't be, you know, a bunch of little teeny saplings, that type of thing.
Well, I understand. Well, okay, I can appreciate that. But my point is that in Arnell Creek, you can't have any outbuildings, no trailers, mm-hmm. no boats, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And I don't know what the HOA is going to do in that community.
Well,
so
we can probably answer a little bit of that for you, since I think we have the covenants. And if you give our attorney a minute, we'll check on that. But while he's checking, just let me share with you that generally in these situations where one community is adjacent to another, as you have here, bear in mind that they have no interest whatsoever in lowering your property value, because what happens when they do that? Lowers their own. Okay. So I would suspect that their covenants are going to look an awful lot like yours would be my guess, because that would be the typically the way, if this application is approved, this is kind of what is known as an infill, which means that there's developments all around it already, and And it's generally, they're going to be seeking to fit in. If not anything else, they might want to build something that maybe is a little nicer than what the developments around are. But the market dictates a lot of that. But as far as the covenants and so on, I think you're going to find that they're going to be pretty similar.
They're actually, when I look through them, they're pretty detailed under the new DCOA laws that established for Delaware. And they're pretty detailed. They're, you know, since you asked about accessory structures, it says that no accessory structures shall be constructed at any unit or lot, except for, you know, attached showers, mailboxes, you know, that type of thing. You know, flagpoles, but no, you know, no sheds or anything. So it sounds like, I don't know what yours are. I can't remember. I've looked at them before, you know, different things. But, you know, it's pretty detailed in here about what you can and can't do there.
Okay.
So, I'm just curious, was there a buffer on Arnell Creek behind your property?
Yes, yeah. Do you have a buffer on your property?
No. Okay. I just moved in April. So, surprise, surprise.
It appears from that 1992 aerial that Arnell Creek was just going in at that time.
Yeah.
Referring
yeah,
back to
Arnell
that
Creek
one
itself
is
not
years
that old.
Ago.
Yeah, it's not, no, it's not
it
that
doesn't
old.
Doesn't look like there were any homes at that time.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you. Welcome to Sussex County. I mean that sincerely. Welcome to Sussex County. It's a great place to live.
Good job right here.
Okay, somebody else on this side? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Jerome Sandy.
Yes, sir.
And where on the map is Arnell Creek?
Mr. Lardner, would you indicate
Creek,
where?
The creek itself, right, sir?
Yeah.
No. Creek begins generally about here, runs back this way, going down this way.
It doesn't go towards what?
It goes down this way.
So the creek behind my house
is all running.
Depends on where your house is. Where's your house?
It's this way.
You border Arnell Creek. And Arnell Creek runs south.
Right. And Arnell Creek does not run towards Lawrence Road.
Right?
That runs the other way. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I can't remember that.
Are your houses on Arnell Creek?
Sure, go ahead. Answer the question.
These two houses here is in the vicinity of where Arnell Creek is. I think Arnell Creek begins generally in about this area. I think it begins more over here. Like I said, we're at the very beginning of Arnell Creek.
Yeah.
There may be like a small ditch, and then it opens up much wider to Arnell Creek and the stream itself. But most of our property does not border Arnell Creek itself.
But we have a law.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you have the same requirement.
But we have not delineated Arnell Creek to be within that requirement or else to provide that buffer. Should evidence be found contrary, then we would be required per code to provide that 50-foot buffer from the water. And so I can revise the plan before final or revise the plan should the project be approved.
Can't this...
Come on up here, sir, so the microphone can pick you up. So we're recording the meeting, and they really can't hear you. But go ahead and ask.
The Warren Road is really the crux of this whole matter. Where Old Landing comes in there.
Okay.
We can't get through there now, and they're still building up near the golf course. And adding all these people to Old Landing Road, they're not going to be able to get out. We're not going to be able to get out. It's going to be, you'll have to be very friendly neighbors for somebody to go let you in. I mean, it's heavy because there's one way in and one way out, which we thought was nice originally. Didn't work out that way.
Yeah, well. Yep, kind of like.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Good Good evening.
Hi.
My name is Pat Sandy, and I, too, live in Arnell Creek.
You live with him?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty smart of me to figure that out.
Very good.
Yeah, I went 4 years of college, too.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Took me 9 years.
I come from a different perspective. We live, our home backs up to the creek.
Uh-huh.
We have deer,
okay.
Raccoon, fox,
yep.
And I even had a huge turtle that buried itself in the yard.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering why a developer would give up 12 building lots because they found archaeological something. What?
Can we tell you why?
Yeah, no, what? What did they find? Bones,
the
pottery?
Do it. That's a state law, ma'am. Yeah, that's the only reason. Trust me, that's the only reason.
But what did they find?
I don't know.
Oh, well, that's what I would love to know. Is it pottery?
Okay.
Is it bones?
I'll see if they know. I'll find out.
It's actually in the exhibit book.
What did they find?
It talks about just things like that, pottery. Right. You guys.
Yeah, pottery.
Pottery from farms.
Shards, Indian heads, probably. Arrowheads, not Indian heads.
Nope. Really?
I didn't even think it was
you better not say Indian bones.
Mentions it was
no bones, I guess. No bones. Just pottery shards and
stuff.
Fragments.
I know. I used to dig. That's why I'm interested in this. I'm just trying to figure out why they would give up 12 building lots.
They didn't have a choice, ma'am.
Stay
their word, told them they were going to
Now, how can the people living off of Old Landing Road get to Del Dock? What do we have to do to say no to developments? I mean, somebody has to put a stop to it. Sussex County is getting so overpopulated with people with no place to go on the roads.
Parts of Sussex County.
Parts, yeah.
Parts of Sussex.
Well, the rest will get like that.
Yeah, well.
But what do we have to do? Do we have to contact Del Dock? Will it do any good?
Well, ma'am, the gentleman that was here before, he didn't testify. Mr. Stickles used to be our county administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard him many times in state venues say, if you'll give us pro rata per road mile, our share of the Transportation Trust Fund, we'd be happy to administer it. So until we get control of the roads and the money that we as taxpayers are paying for the roads, then we don't have one hand on the steering wheel.
Well, and I want to tell you something else too. That's even more. It's going to sound more general than that, but it really is the way things work. I want all of you to hear this. Okay. This is still a representative form of government. You have five people sitting up here tonight who are appointed by five people who are elected, okay? Your next opportunity to register your discontent is November 4th, 2014. It's a Tuesday. 2014.
My discontent is with Del Dock, though.
But where does Del Dock get their money? The state legislature.
State.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
the legislators.
There you go. It's the legislators. Okay. It's a long process, but it's your elected officials at the end of the day.
Okay.
It's what it is. I'm sorry. I wish
getting to Georgetown tonight was a challenge, which was just typical of there are no turn lanes, and somebody the long line of traffic. Somebody wants to make a left turn. Well,
and have you been here a long time? You lived in Sussex County a long
yes.
time. Well, then you've seen a lot of changes.
I've seen a lot of changes. Yeah.
I know.
Sandy, I would suggest to you also. It was amazing to me when I first got on the commission. I requested a copy of every comprehensive land use plan since we had one, and the first one was somewhere around 1970, and it was written by state land use planners, certified planners. And they recommended all the commercial zones on Route 1. They recommended our comprehensive plan blueprint was designed by the state in 70, and it's been built out and amended since then with input from the state. I won't let that leave my office. I consider it a historical artifact, but you're welcome to stop by and read it,
okay.
Take notes from it. You'll be amazed. Many of the traffic items that we're facing today were mentioned and supposedly going to be solved in the 20-year period, the planning period from 70 to 1990. These were state commitments. Prejudiced because I'm a county resident, but by and large, our county government, which I was not involved in through that period,
lived up to the commitments of those comprehensive plans. Unfortunately, the state has not lived up to its side. But we can't make them do that.
No.
Now, we're getting blamed for it.
And I'm sure you are.
We're suffering from it. Every one of us. Us too. We ride
Well, you drive the roads too. You all do.
But what do we do? Yeah.
Sure.
You know, we can't make the state live up to its commitments. And right now, as with this application and others, the minor road improvements won't get made unless we build, because it's the developer that's paying to build the minor road improvements.
What the state's figured out is that they can require developers to essentially pay for all the road improvements, and they do that by making it a condition of their entrance permits.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the developers essentially are the ones who are paying for the road improvements that get made down here.
So perhaps they're going to put the traffic light at Old Landing
Road.
Well,
you know,
never
know. Yeah, they
might.
Or contribute to a fund of some kind, but I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for DelDOT.
I'm not going
to.
But in the meantime, I thank you.
Because, well, if you'd be amazed at the number of state-maintained roads there are up north compared to what's down here. Development roads and so on.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. But it's
okay.
The situation
well, I thank
we
you
have.
All.
But thank you for sharing. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Okay, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. Invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.